Welcome to Influential She, the podcast about accelerating the influence of women in the world.
You will find us to be a fresh voice in an old conversation.
And here we are, your amazing co-hosts, Deb Soholt
and Mel Schopp.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Influential She, our conversation about accelerating the influence of women in the world. I'm your co-host, Deb Soholt.
And I'm Mel Schopp. And tonight we're going to be talking about the high leverage practice of perspicaciousness. I'll have to admit that one of the first things we did as we were trying to find a word that really emulated this concept is, you know, candidly, Deb, we did have to look it up and then we did have to listen to the pronunciation.
Yeah, like we had no idea how to pronounce it.
So, but we really gravitated towards this because I think it was something that we both felt we were able to do quite well in our past, you know, careers and professions, which is being able to look at and comprehend things that sometimes seem rather puzzling to other people. I think we were both able to do that, not only in our professional careers, but I definitely watched you, Deb, in the legislature, kind of step back and look down and be able to put things together in a really perceptive way.
Well, and I think this is really about pulling yourself up to almost the 10,000 foot level and saying sometimes there are really disparate things that you start to connect up. And that is perspicaciousness, mm-hmm. of being able to see, okay, that isn't exactly connected on the surface. You wouldn't think it. But then you go, there's going to be an effect and something's going to happen over here. And it helps you to kind of rise above the situation and to connect different things that you wouldn't necessarily view that way if you didn't like look at connecting the dots.
And, you know, this is one of the key things that we feel that if you're really going to be influential in your, you know, your profession and in your work, that ability is really, really powerful. And I think our guest today is one that just exemplifies this practice.
Well, and she is amazing at it at a very young age. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're so excited about our guest today, who is Dr. Heidi Moline. And actually, I got to know Dr. Heidi when she was just pursuing her medical degree. And she's going to tell you a little bit more about herself in a minute. But this is an extraordinary, influential woman at a very young age who has moved around in her educational background, and we'll talk about that a little bit, but has really quickly moved and developed her influence as a young professional. And we're just so excited to welcome Dr. Heidi to the show. Hi, Heidi. Welcome to Influential She.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, we're just thrilled that you would take the time because we know you have an incredibly busy schedule. Why don't we start by telling our listeners today just what you're up to right now, like what's going on with your career?
Of course. So I am currently a chief resident in pediatrics at the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis. And the job allows me to help guide young new trainee residents and help support them as they take care of patients and kind of continue on their educational journey. It's a position that I've been, that I started last July, and it's a 1-year position. And so it's been fun for me to see, and to assume like a teaching role and see these young doctors really become their own. And it's a cool role.
Well, now
Now
Heidi, wasn't this something like first you just to become a pediatrician overall, you do your medical school and then your residency, but isn't that pediatric residency 3 years? And then this is something added on top of that for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So pediatric training is a 3-year residency. Every specialty is a little different. So family medicine is also 3 years. OB is 4 years. And in pediatrics, some residents are asked to stay on an extra year to assume a leadership role. And so I was fortunate to be one of those residents for my program. And so that's what this chief year, we call it a chief resident year. That's what this year has allowed me to do.
So now what did you have to do to become that? I mean, was there an application? Was there something where you just rose above in how you related to people? Or how did that come about?
Yeah, I think it's probably different in different programs. For us, we're a fairly large training program. And so there's about 30 residents at any given time per class. And within my class, I think I was pretty, I'm an extrovert. And so I was pretty vocal early on and kind of assumed a leadership role within my class. And as part of that, I think our program leadership recognized that I would be somebody worth keeping on and had something to give to the trainees below me. I think for the most part, it's something that is a privilege and it's really a cool thing to be asked to do. And so nobody turns it down.
You know, Heidi, I know as we've kind of did a tee up for this podcast, what I learned about you though, that this is just a small part of everything you've been able to accomplish to this point. I mean, I was blown away by some of the work that you've done and really excited to hear about that. But I know I'm really curious about how you got to be a doctor. And was it a traditional pathway or a non-traditional? Because that was the part that was really fascinating to me.
Yeah, I kind of had a roundabout path to medicine. Typically, many medical students, they go to 4 years of undergrad and then they go right into medical school. And I really found myself interested in public health. And so I pretty quickly, you know, I did the requirements to get into medical school, but found myself really drawn to learning more about epidemiology and other public health aspects that I think really reflected my kind of holistic view of medicine. And so I've kind of veered down that path and did public health training for a couple years. And for me, it was a really cool way to, I think, form a foundation in, you know, outside of medicine, that then when I went to medical school, I was able to bring that. And for me, I wouldn't trade that kind of untraditional or non-traditional path for anything, because it's made me a better doctor, I think.
Now, didn't you actually get a master's in public health?
I did. I went to Emory University in Atlanta, which is actually right next to the CDC. And that's where I did my training in epidemiology. And it was really a fun opportunity to be surrounded by incredible ideas and thought leaders, and really helped me kind of develop my own professional identity. And I really, at that point, realized that I could do a little bit of both. And it was just a matter of kind of finding the right time for medical school.
You know, the word epidemiology is sort of like perspicaciousness. Some of us can pronounce it and some of us can't. But along with that, I know it gave you some amazing opportunities. And so I think you just got back from an amazing trip. Is that correct? And maybe you can talk about some of the other things that you did along with that.
Sure. As part of my work at the University of Minnesota, I'm part of the Division of Global Pediatrics. And the division sends residents to our partner site in Tanzania. And so I spent 2 months in Arusha, Tanzania, working in a NICU and a small rural hospital. And it was just an incredible opportunity and incredibly humbling to take care of patients in a very unique setting and a reminder of the resources that are available in the U.S. are not available everywhere else. And so it was a huge challenge professionally to try to figure out and navigate how I would treat patients there when you don't necessarily have the resources that I have available here.
Now, when you think about being perspicacious and really starting to connect dots that other people may not necessarily see, when you talk about your experience in Tanzania and then the work that you're doing in the United States and being a chief resident. Now, I know that sounds very young to the people that might be listening to this podcast, but Heidi brings such an incredible maturity to her work. What kind of connections and dots did you start seeing linking up between working in third world and then working here?
I think one of the things that we say quite often in global health is that global is local. And I see this every week in my clinic when I take care of patients. I have probably about half of my patients are Somali families and speak Somali, and the other quarter are also non-English speaking. And so for me, the global health component of what we do and what I've done really helps me bring humility to the work that I do as a pediatrician and better understand these families that I get to take care of here in Minneapolis. So for me, it's really about bridging those two worlds, and I get to do it almost every clinic visit, which is pretty cool.
You know, it's just so fascinating when you talk about, I know that it's a theory and it's what you're taught in school about global is local, But I think sometimes that feels uncharacteristic, you know, when we start to think about, okay, you're different than me. And I'm not going to connect up that we're the same because your skin color is different and you talk different and you just don't act like me. So to be perspicacious and to think about connecting the dots of humanity, I really hear you talking about that. I mean, it's a theory, but talk a little bit, Heidi, about how that just really plays out in your practice.
Oh, gosh. I don't know that there's a better specialty than pediatrics where we see that. I think every mom, no matter where in the world they're at, is a mom, and they want the best for their child. And whether it's resources or education or experience, oftentimes there are different ways to go about or different ways to think about what the best thing is for their child. But the intention of every mom is really to make sure that their child is happy and healthy and lives, right? And so whether you're in Arusha, Tanzania, or downtown Minneapolis, it's really something that we see every day in pediatrics. And so I think that for me is moms are moms, and it just, it's really fun to be able to connect on that level.
Well, what you just said is something exactly what we talk about when individuals are able to be perspicacious, because what you are able to do is you are more or less anticipating and, you know, adapting and tailoring all of the advice that you give them to that specific situation. How critically important, I think, can't think of any probably profession where that's more critical, because they want answers and they want to know, they're trusting you to be able to give them advice, but that's a real gift that you have been able to give and are able to do that not everybody can do. And, you know, what a blessing that you're able to give back to each and every individual mother in using your perspicaciousness skills.
Yeah, and I think about, you know, I often talk about moms that do not have the kind of financial assets that other moms have. And I'm like, but no mom wants less for their child. And so it doesn't matter where your circumstances are or what part of the world you're in. This is something that we are all connected on. And I think for you to understand that at such a young professional age, Heidi, is just really incredible. And, you know, it really just talks about, you know, doesn't it feel kind of weird sometimes that while that's uncommon, how can that be even uncommon, right? That's so self-evident that we should be connected on a worldwide platform in that way. Do you ever think that?
I do. I think, you know, sometimes I even find myself really having to be intentional about thinking about things like that. And I think especially when you're in the medical field or in really high intensity situations where you're interacting with people in sometimes their most vulnerable moments, that's really where you just get this kind of gut reminder that, you know, we're all just people and we're all kind of on a journey trying to make the best we can. And we may not get there the same way and we may have different outcomes, but we all try hard. And so I think that's something that I try to bring to every patient visit, whether it's a 2-year-old well child check or, you know, taking care of kids that are more critically ill. So,
you know, so Heidi, you have just, you know, accomplished so much in a very short time frame in your life. But I am so curious, and I'm sure our listeners will be too, is take us back and tell us how you got here today.
Yeah, well, for me, I've always had incredible mentors and role models in my life. And throughout really every phase of my professional development, I've had awesome people behind me saying, take the risk, you know, it's okay. It'll all work out. And things have a way of working out. And so to kind of have that ingrained in me pretty early from a professional standpoint, but then also, you know, just in growing up as a child in Western South Dakota, you know, you learn grit and you learn that you can do anything. And so I feel really lucky to have had that kind of childhood. And then I hope that I've been able to kind of continue that kind of mentality going forward. So.
And you started out like in English and sociology. Were you thinking medicine early on?
So I think, you know, one of the things that most people often don't know about medical school and applying to medical school is that you don't have to be a biology or chemistry major to go forward with that career path. And again, one of my mentors told me really early on, you have your whole life to learn biology and chemistry. And so what do you just want to know better? And what do you want to learn about? And what will expand your mind? And in like true liberal arts form, I really dove into that. And so I was an English major and sociology major at the University of South Dakota. And that really kind of opened my eyes to the world and taught me how to think, not just to memorize, which I think I've continued to use over the course of my professional career so far.
And I think that taught me how to think is really the thing about being perspicacious, that if you're really thinking about it, then you can connect dots that other people might not necessarily see. Talk about some of the interesting things that you're doing right now, which I think is very atypical for where you're at your medical career as far as research and some of the things that you've been able to be involved with in children's health.
Yeah, absolutely. I came into my pediatric training knowing that I wanted to do more public health work and knowing that I loved the state level of public health. And so for me, Minnesota was a really good fit because I not only had great pediatric training, but there's also an incredible Department of Health. So I reached out pretty early on and developed a working relationship with the Emerging Infections Program with the Department of Health here in Minnesota, and was able to really kind of cultivate relationships. And this really proved valuable for me when we started seeing cases of acute flaccid myelitis or the paralysis of young children in the fall of 2018. And really, I just happened to be in the right place at the right time to see multiple children across 4 different hospitals that had this condition. And because of my relationship with the Department of Health, I was able to kind of help elevate the urgency and the conversation that we were having about acute flaccid myelitis in the Twin Cities. And so being able to be involved from kind of early on from both a clinical side and a public health side, it was just a really cool opportunity. And I always love being able to bring together kind of the two silos of public health and medicine. And it was just an example of that. And for me, it was really inspiring to be able to work with those families on something that can be really scary. So we still have a lot to learn, but that was certainly a highlight of my training so far.
You know, Heidi, you used the word lucky, but I think instead what I would say is that you were very perspicacious and able to be able to put those two things together. Because think about what you did. I mean, you were purposeful in making decisions about pulling them together, but to have that understanding from, as Deb, you know, earlier said, sort of 30,000 foot view, and knowing that if I connect this to this, there's going to be a greater impact in the way in which you can move things forward. And so I don't think lucky is the word you should be using. I think that, you know, you have an ability to be able to put things together that and really act on it. That is really not just a skill, but you think what you were able to do in providing real feedback and information to people who were desperately needing that sort of thing at that point in time.
And you talk about being able to elevate the conversation. Well, that was because you were looking at, okay, I'm in my residency program, but I also am thinking about public health. I'm thinking about epidemiology. There's this emerging thing that's starting to happen. How can I be a part of raising that to a new level of consciousness and really being quite fearless about being influential in that space? And haven't you actually done some publication?
Yeah, and that's really kind of one of the really rewarding aspects of this work is that we were able to produce an MMWR, one of CDC's publications. So we co-authored with colleagues at CDC and the Minnesota Department of Health. So it really did... It was a cool outcome for something that was just almost, I don't know, serendipitous, I think, in the way that it all landed. So I know I shouldn't say lucky. But.
Do you know what, Heidi, I love about you is like, okay, you just have this incredible sense of humility about you, which is so great with you just as a person. But in some respect, I mean, not a but it underestimates your influence that you have been able to exercise at a very young age about being interested and curious and seeing these efforts that are going at the same time and then trying to figure out how do they come together to make something even more powerful. And I think at a young age, you've started to figure that out. Sometimes that doesn't, you feel like, doesn't everybody see it this way? I mean, how hard could that be? It doesn't right. seem like it's something like extraordinary and special. But yet sometimes, you know, people just are in their one lane. Like I'm in residency now and I'm just doing this residency thing and I'm not going to see that I'm also connected to a larger part of what's happening just in health overall because you're curious. And I think to be perspicacious, you have to be extraordinarily curious. I mean, do you feel sometimes like, okay, doesn't everybody just do this?
Yes, absolutely.
Or why can't they see or figure it out on their own, right?
Yeah, I think I've always been a kind of a big thinker, like from a 30,000 foot view. And sometimes it's hard to articulate in the moment if I'm thinking of ways we can be connecting things further down the road. And to put time in now to build relationships and kind of cultivate ideas and really bring energy towards something that may not be, you know, deliver fruit until, you know, a year from now. Mm-hmm. But so I do think that can be a challenge. And I think honestly, until we started talking about this podcast, I hadn't realized, you know, that it was an actual trait that people had. So it's cool to hear that there are others out there that can think that way, I guess.
Well, and I think sometimes to be perspicacious feels somewhat lonely because you think, doesn't everybody see it this way? Doesn't everybody see that all these different things connect together and then they create a pattern and a trend that we could really wrap our arms around and move it forward into the future? And so it is an extraordinary skill set of influence. And you have already at a very young age started to figure out how to leverage that. And, you know, we just really want that for other young women to see how you don't have to just stay in one place. It might be politics. It's the public health. It's the how do I look at educational systems differently? How do I look at healthcare systems differently? But it's really about rising up and thinking of the systemness and the connectedness. And then what are the threads that are the same, no matter where you are? Whether that's a doctor in your pediatric program, it's in the public health program. I'm working with CDC on the global perspective. I'm now in Tanzania. And I think you've been really fortunate to have these interesting experiences. But then also, it's just fun to hear you talk about how you see it differently, Heidi. And, you know, Melody and I wish that we had been perspicacious at a much younger age.
I think, Deb, I watched you, though, in the work that you've done in the legislature, which has been an example. I think that's why we chose this as one of our high leverage practices, because we saw that oftentimes, you know, the legislature or public policy itself can focus on issues rather than systems change. I know that word is somewhat overused. And so I think that that's where we found the value in this. And that's why I think, Heidi, in your ability to be able to pull these systems together using the strengths that you have it's really exciting for us to be able to, you know, to share that with others, but also to know that the things that you're doing are really making a difference in helping save lives. I hope that you understand how important that is and that you don't take it for granted either, because it's pretty amazing.
I feel really fortunate. And again, I think I feel really lucky to be at a spot where I can do a job that I love every day and still be able to kind of weave together my interests. I think to be in that spot is really exciting.
You know, and I think for those listening to this podcast, you would think, okay, it's all tidy to be perspicacious, you know, mm-hmm. that you like see how this all comes together. It's not, it's like a mystery. Mm-hmm. It's like, I see this one little thing and boy, that seems like it could have some affinity for this other thing that I'm working on. And maybe there's some way we can bring that together and see it in a larger perspective that really transforms something. Instead of just doing this one small thing, it's going to have a ripple effect on these other things that are going on. So that's what I love about the work that you're doing as a chief resident, Heidi, is that you're seeing the public health platform. Like, yes, I have patients in front of me. I have residents that report to me. I have people that I need to mentor and lead. But in every decision that we're making, we are also affecting a larger public health system. And you talk about that, and it's really cool.
Yeah, I love the work I do, and it's such a privilege to take care of kids and families. And then to be able to think about it at a higher level, too, is pretty cool.
Well, I think that everybody is going to want you to be their pediatrician of choice. So, and do you have a vision for yourself, Heidi, about where you want to go to kind of merge this caring for kids as a part of family unit and public health? What are you thinking?
Yeah, so I love pediatrics and envision that a huge part of my career. Right now, as I get ready to join the Epidemic Intelligence Service with the CDC, I'll be taking a couple years of mostly public health work. And so I plan on coming back to the Midwest and working at a state health department. That's really where I found my niche. I love the work you can do at a state level. I think we need more physicians working at the state level in public health. And I would love to be able to do that as my main job and then be able to take care of kids and families a couple days a week or something like that as well. I think figuring out a way to do both as long as possible is really a priority for me now. So,
well, and tell us a little bit more about this next 2 years that you're going to be doing. What's that all about?
Yeah, so I'll be joining the Center for Disease Control has a 2-year fellowship called the Epidemic Intelligence Service, or EIS. And it's really an opportunity to develop public health leadership skills. And also it's an applied experience in outbreak investigation. So I kind of tell people that I'll spend a couple years learning how to work outbreaks for infectious diseases. And so I look forward to it. It's an exciting time in public health, maybe a little too exciting, but
well, it is really an exciting time in public health in the world, isn't it? With the coronavirus. And then here we are in South Dakota and we're talking about not vaccinating children.
Vaccines save lives.
Vaccine saves lives. And, you know, I'm of the generation where, you know, we know what it was like to have all these childhood diseases that were extremely scary for our parents. And we were very ill in relationship to whooping cough and, you know,
measles and mumps
and smallpox. And, you know, I mean, when I think about just even the polio epidemic that happened within the nation and how, you know, we were lined up in the multipurpose room to get vaccines when they weren't even tested yet, really. I mean, they just had done minor testing, but the parents were, they'd seen the diseases. And now we have 50 years later, people have not seen what the results of all of these diseases are. And I think the extraordinary gains we've made in, you know, preserving the public's health, connecting the dots about what it means for global health, you know, we need to pay attention.
Yeah, that's got to make you cringe-worthy when you hear any of those conversations, Heidi, well, about, you know, any of those
concerns. I mean, the reality is those conversations are a big part of the work we do in public health. And it kind of goes back to, you know, educating and really meeting families where they're at. I want all my families to be fully immunized. And if they're not, we have a long and a very frequent conversations to meet. We're in a place where we can protect children. So absolutely, I think it takes seeing a couple kids, you know, in rural Africa, you know, that don't have access to vaccines and are suffering from some of these illnesses to make you really passionate about the importance of childhood immunizations.
I can only imagine. Wow, what a gift you bring.
Well, Dr. Heidi, we just want to thank you so much for being on our podcast and for talking about being perspicacious, which you are. And it's just so much fun to watch you grow and develop and all of the gifts that you're bringing to this work that you're doing. And just know that, you know, already your name is going to be in published work, but we look forward to all of the exciting things that Dr. Heidi Moline is going to be up to.
Yeah, thanks. And, you know, we really appreciate everybody tuning in. And every time that we end a podcast, though, we usually leave them with some sort of really big question. But I think the one that we want to leave you with tonight, that's even probably a little less, I would say, impactful, is that we want to ask you, would you have been able to win the spelling bee if the word was perspicaciousness? So just think about that for a minute.
Heidi, anyway, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Influential She, and we hope that you'll do it again.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed our podcast, we'd be so jazzed if you rate us on whatever app you use to find us. And hey, be sure to tell all your friends about Influential She.
And please visit us at InfluentialShe.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. And you know what? If you come up with a new one, please let us know. In the meantime, remember, stay influential.